I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
He's not from Dublin, he's from Cork, and he'd be like, excuse me now, I've literally moved us over here. You better make this work.
My you mom best fucking man up.
And he's like, get to fuck. We moved to London, make it work. Okay.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by broadcaster, TV presenter, podcaster, author, you name it, she's done it. She's my favourite flame-haired beauty. It's Angela Scanlon, everybody.
Hey, girl. Hi, lovely. How are you?
I'm all right. Thanks, mate. How are you?
Good, yeah. Congratulations. You got engaged since we last spoke. You were on my podcast. I mean, I don't know how long ago that was, but yeah, I have an image of you on a beach.
Yeah.
Looking blissfully happy.
Looking,
congrats.
Looking fuck all like I do now.
You look fabulous. Fuck off.
Oh, honestly, I'm so, just to dive straight in.
Go on.
I'll start freezing my eggs this week, like that journey.
Shut up.
So I'm due my period on Wednesday. And like that signals the start of it. So like normally I'd be spray tanned. Normally I'd be like, I've got nails off the lot, but I've got a couple of weeks off work for it because I don't fully know the effect it's going to have on like
my
body.
They put hormone, right? You get hormones. Is it to increase the amount of eggs that you...
Exactly. Like,
yeah. So, yeah. Oh, wow. I know a few people doing it at the moment.
Well, I think it's a nice time of the year. Like fuck all's happening. Everybody, it's cold. Nobody really wants to go anywhere.
So. I don't mean like just in January. I mean January. Right. You're like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, there's a 2-for-1 deal actually going around.
I thought you meant now. I was like, well, I thought it was a great.
Cool.
Time.
Hook me up. But you're right. January is a good time to freeze the eggs generally. And you don't want to be out and about really, do you? But that's amazing. That's a big old move, isn't it?
And I kept waiting, and I've said this before, and like obviously I know you've got two little girls, yeah. So you might tell us, honestly, Vicky, no one's fucking ready, but yeah, I just kept waiting for that moment, Angela, when I was like, oh my God, I need to be a mom, I'm so, I need that next step, like, and it's just never come for me.
It never came for me, babe, never came for me. I was basically given a gentle ultimatum by my husband to figuratively shit or get off the pot. He was like, babe, we had this chat, okay, before we got married.
We agreed.
And I was like, yeah, 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 but what about, and I was like always kicking it down the road thinking, no, waiting for that exact moment where I thought I'm going to have a hallelujah and I'm going to want to wear the sling and I'm going to be an earth mother all of a sudden. And speaking to people, friends of mine, like some people have that, and I think they have from the time they're 12 years of age. Like I was on the tube yesterday, I saw, I'd say she was a five-year-old girl, and she was carrying a sling with a doll in it. And I was like, babe, I mean, I know we all have dreams and hopes, but no, at five, I'd be putting a nail in that. I'd be like, no, honey,
no.
It was really, really cute. But I do think there are people who have a real urge and sense that, family and motherhood specifically is the thing that they...
It's their purpose.
It's their purpose, exactly that. I never had that. I definitely... The thing for me that I kept thinking was when I close my eyes and think about my future, there are kids in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm with absolute certainty, I want children. I don't know that tomorrow I want to be pregnant. I don't know that I even loved being pregnant, the labor, all of that kind of stuff. But I definitely knew that, like, deathbed scenario, my ideal would be to have some small humans around me.
But that's it. And I think I was exactly the same. Like, it's pretty much echoes my sentiments, you know, like, I don't know if I can see, I like the thought of myself being a mom, you know, like I don't like the thought of the alternative for me.
Yeah.
But like, I really love the thought of being a grandma. So I was like, you absolutely can't have the one without the other. So I thought, you fucking just best freeze them, Vicky.
And get moving if you want to be a grandma. There's a chronological situation here, and like, fuck knows, we've been putting it off. I don't know what our offspring will be doing. They'll be like having kids when they're 60. I mean, you can pop yourself in a cryo chamber or something.
Oh, there'll be loads of medical advancements by then. I'm not saying I want to be the most active grandma. I just want to be there, you know.
Yeah, feeding them ice cream and cuddling. Yeah,
nice. That all looks class. And like, you know, you've not got no responsibilities as a grandma. You're not raising anything. You're not molding into good human beings.
Exactly. Yeah. You're like there to literally let it go. It's funny. I watched Matilda with my daughter recently, and it's so cute. I mean, if you haven't seen the Netflix, it's in cinema, but it's also weirdly on Netflix.
Is this weirdly. The like stage show thing?
It's the stage show turned into you know, a film, and it's absolutely brilliant.
Is it good?
It's Dennis Kelly and Tim Mitchum, you know, the comedian, have done the adaptation. Now, I think possibly they did the stage show. Anyway, it's magic and it's funny and it's quite dark, but Matilda does a brilliant little rendition where she's like, sometimes you've got to be a little bit naughty. And my daughter, every time she does something now, she'll go to me, sometimes you got to be, and I'm like, you're a cheeky bitch. But it's actually,
you fuck.
Get back up them stairs. But I think as a grandparent, you can like fully relish that, because I obviously have to smile and giggle, secretly be proud of her pushing my buttons, but also like, oh, I need to rein her in. Whereas I think a grandparent, you can fully enjoy the wildness of them.
And that's the beautiful thing. There's that saying, isn't there? Like, raise your kids so you don't have to raise your grandkids.
Raise your kids so you can ruin your grandkids.
Yes, you can have a bit of, you can have a bit of fun. Get your own back. But like, exactly. I look at me ma with Maeve, who is my other favourite ginger person, by the way.
Okay, great. Up there.
And yeah, he's a podium place, and it's a big honour. I would have said Prince Harry was up there as well, but I'm really conflicted at the moment.
So am I. I'm so confused on many levels.
I just want to love them and want them to go and have this really happy life out in America like they wanted. And then I keep hearing about his Willie, and I'm like,
his Willie and Elizabeth Arden. I'm like, babe, I knew Kate Moss put it on her face, but why is he putting it on his mushroom?
And why is he telling me? That's the worst thing.
Right.
I'm flipping flopping all over the shop. But
flip away, babe.
Have you got an autobiography? Because I know you've got a book, but have you done like a memoir or not?
I mean, so Joyrider is my book, and it's kind of, you've read it, you've cried to it, Vicky, which is one of my like claims to fame, but it's kind of a memoir slash self-help in that it's, you know, there are tools and there are things that I've picked up along the way, but it's, you know, the basis is in, is my life. So there's some personal stories in there, but I feel like a memoir is quite a punchy thing to title it as.
Yeah. So memoir feels salacious in some way, you know, but like, I felt like yours was very honest, very real self-help vibes, but like certainly not self-righteous. But you must have had someone who went through the same process as me when I was writing my autobiography way back when. And like, it was, I would write, because you're just like, you're told to tell your story, and I'm quite an honest person, as are you. You just write, like, you just speak organically from the heart. And there was somebody who read it after me and was like, listen, we don't need to know that bit. And legally, that bit might be a bit of an issue. And, you know, do you want to tell everybody that? And like, it was great because then I was able to be like, oh, I actually don't really want everyone to know that. That is a bit weird, you know?
Yeah.
And, why, like, at the time when I wrote my Nan Show, we're going back, like, I'd just done Geordie Shore. Nobody fucking knew who I was, really. Like, why did I have that person? And Prince Harry, arguably the most famous man on the planet right now, why has no one said, oh, don't tell them about your knob?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we'd be talking about that memoir if he hadn't written about his knob, is the truth of it.
You think it's all a game plan?
Well, I don't know. I think he's playing it pretty well, in fairness. I don't know. You know? Like,
who are we to judge?
I saw Jeremy Vine on TikTok talking about it, like listening to an excerpt, like that I'm showing my age, listening to an excerpt of it and being like, what? Why is this? So, like, he's obviously not going to tell deep, dark secrets about his marriage and his relationship. I think that seems to have been kept under wraps. I don't know that he needed to talk about like falling on the dog bowl thing. You know, we all have scraps with our siblings. Anyway, it's very confusing, the whole thing. And it's actually just all a bit sad. I think I'm like,
I know.
I don't
That's
know.
How I feel. I just feel like my sister, and there's only me and her, and we're like close as out, even though I'm down here and she's up north. Like, I can't imagine a world where I'd ever fight or fall out with her as an adult or say her anything disparaging. And to see them fall apart in such a huge way, and it almost feels like you cannot come back from it. I don't know. It all just feels a bit sad.
It's hard to come back from that when it's so public. Literally every interaction between them will forever be under scrutiny. It's like, I don't know. It's tricky. Anyway, how do we get onto that?
Talking about gingers.
Oh, another redhead. You were about to, we were talking about kids, weren't we? And obviously Archibald has changed his life massively. But you have dogs, babe, and I'm not for a second, before anyone comes for me, comparing kids to dogs, and I do not own dogs. But like, you know, there's a level of responsibility that goes with owning a dog that I imagine prepares you a little bit. If you're like 100% flying around wherever you want to be going on any given day without thinking about anybody else, really, then a child is quite the shock to the system, which is what happened to me, FYI.
So I definitely think, and again, well, listeners are lovely, nobody complains, they're a very open-minded bunch. But again, I'm not comparing them either. Dogs and kids are very different, I know that. But I do feel like it's a bit of a precursor, essentially, you know? And I'm learning about, like you say, responsibility, not putting yourself first, like understanding dynamics of like, oh, you can't just go here, there and everywhere, you need to get someone to look after them. And I think it's like we're slowly edging in the right direction, but I do just think nout can prepare you. Like,
no, I don't think anything can prepare you either, but I do think one of the things that it helps you to fully understand, because a lot of the time when people talk about having children, there's a list of sacrifices, there's a list of things that are about to change, and often it's served to you as a really negative change, like you're about to be whacked around the head and never come back from it. But I think, again, like having a pet where you go, oh, yes, I do have to get up at, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning to let them out and do a wee or whatever. But my God, the love they give me on the couch on a Sunday. So you start to really appreciate the back and forth of that. So it's not just this like sacrifice that you make for 18 years or the rest of your life or whatever. You start to understand that what you give, you also receive back massively. And I think that's a huge switch in your head, because you think, oh, okay, yeah, this is different.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
But then that's it. Like, it's always about reframing it in perspective and stuff, isn't it? And like, you could look at any section of your life like that, like, oh, fuck's sake, I've got to go to work. Or
exactly.
Fuck's sake, the baby's crying again. Like, if you just look at it like, oh my God, I'm fit, I'm healthy, I'm young, I'm going to work, you know? Or, oh my God, this tiny little part of me that I managed to create is awake. Let's start my day. Like, that's such a fucking romanticized and Disney way of looking at it. And there's definitely moments where I'm like, that fucking dog is walking again.
He's going out the window. Yeah. But you're right. You're absolutely right. It's a discipline, I think, in forcing yourself to reframe. And Joyrider, my book, is about gratitude. And I'm sure we'll guess that. But it's like, it is that practice of going, no, 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 there's a different way to look at this that may help me feel better in the moment. So selfishly, you're like, okay, how can I just tweak and really practice it and hold yourself to it and know that you can change the way you feel about anything. And as you say, it's really hard to do it in moments where you're knackered and you're under pressure and you're like sick of it, whatever. But it's massively empowering to know that you have the ability to change your feeling about any given situation.
Within yourself as well. Like, it's not like, oh God, I need to like, I need to buy,
buy something.
Like, yeah, I need to buy, I need to go through therapy. I need to do this or I need to do that. Like, it's just actually like, whoa, just sit and take a second and have a breath and reframe it. Yeah. And you know, you said, oh, we'll get a joyrider in a second. It feels like a really natural place to get to it now, mate. I absolutely loved your book.
Thank you so much.
No, thank you, mate. And like, I meant it. I opened it up on the plane and I sat down and started reading it and I just was sobbing. And just so much of it like resonated and it was so beautifully written and so honest and funny and just very insightful, mate. And like, I always say, you need more joy, you need more gratitude, you need all these things in your life. But I thought it encapsulated that mindset perfectly. So congratulations on a wonderful book, basically.
Thanks, babe. Thank you. Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? The whole writing of a book and then scary. It being out that, oh, it's so scary. And like the hangover of it, the vulnerability hangover of it, because I kind of thought, okay, I can't write about gratitude. Well, I can. But if you're stuck somewhere and people are like, oh, just look on the bright side of life, it's not helpful in any way, shape or form. It's not something that you can hang on to. And so I kind of felt, okay, you know, people, if you follow me on Instagram or you see, you know, see my work, you'll think, oh, she's quite a jolly old soul, isn't she? And I am pretty, you know, positive outwardly. I don't say that, like I'm not crying in my soup every day, but I definitely have had to have to really work on it.
It's been a discipline.
Been a fucking discipline. And it continues to be a discipline. And I think that's, I think maybe that's what I felt people deserve to know, because if you look at me from the surface, and there are some people, I'm not one of them, but some people who are just naturally really happy.
I think they're a bit, I think there's something fucking missing. And honestly, when I look, and this is no disrespect to anybody, but after sometimes when I look at these people who are like, la, 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 I think you're fucking not all there, are you?
Yeah.
It's like, life is hard, mate. And you're telling me every day, you're like this, you're full of shit.
I know. Well, also, I would think there's an element of denial now. I'm like, oh, no, no, you're just, you're, it's a surface. It's a kind of, I think you've got to be in the fucking depths sometimes to really be able to enjoy the ups when they do come. And so I think, if somebody's like that all the time, then maybe they're protesting a bit too much. Do you know what I mean? But for me, I thought I felt, okay, I need to like share a little bit of the things that maybe people wouldn't necessarily know about me in order for them to understand that actually, you know, if you're not that way inclined naturally, you can access, you know, you can use gratitude. And also I was like, I'm obsessed with self-help and self-development, always have been. Don't read fiction, embarrassing, but like have read self-help, as they were called, books since I was 15.
Really?
Yes.
Like I say, I love a bit of fiction, me.
Oh my God. No, I was always, now I can understand it's also a little problematic that I'm like, oh no, I can't just read a book just for enjoyment and escape. I need to better myself. How is this going to further my development?
Yeah, like, there's definitely something problematic wrapped up in that, but I'm not going to touch it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm not ready to unleash that beast. But I had read like an awful lot of self-development kind of books, and I'd done an awful lot of like, you know, kooky things. My husband, Roy, would take the piss out of me. He's like, oh my God, what kind of quack are you at this week? Like, because I was always seeking somebody to, you know, magically make me feel whole. Yeah. And gratitude was this weird thing that I kept coming back to. I'd like see it in different ways and dress. Because look, a lot of these lessons that we write about, that we learn, are the same, dressed up in different voices and in different methods and whatever else. And so gratitude was the one that kept coming back to me. And I was like, okay, there's a lot of weird shit that I embark upon that I don't know if most people, A, would be able to afford it, B, be interested in it or open to it.
Yeah.
like, oh, gratitude. Like, how could I help my dad? Yeah. And gratitude was that thing that was like, it doesn't cost you anything. So you obviously take it for granted. And it's easy to do. And so I just started to build up these practices and properly come back to it and like not get out of the bed until I had done that little moment and force myself to, you know, always be looking for something better as opposed to looking at all of the things that I had yet to do or comparing myself to everybody who had seemingly done a million times better than me in any given day.
And also done it like looking a million times better than you. And like with our kids in matching outfits and like, oh, that's the bit for me.
Matching pajamas is very triggering for you, isn't it, Vicky?
But then I do it. Do it, mate. I'm such a hypocrite and an arsehole because I'm literally like, I'm so disparaging about these families that manage to like turn out looking great every week and they're matching things. But then, oh, any given opportunity, I'm like, fuck, now let's walk the dogs in something that matches.
Yeah. It's an Instagram moment, babe. But look, it's about knowing that that's not real life either. You know, you can play with it. And I think you're really good at staying in touch with that. I mean, your TikTok, it makes me scream with laughter all the fucking time. So it's just humor. It's adding humor. Sometimes, again, I think self-help can feel, as you would say, self-righteous and preachy. And like you've reached the top of a mountain and you're looking down and teaching people. And it's absolute bollocks because, you know, you fall apart every second day. And so it's just knowing that you have a little toolkit of stuff that you can return to so that when you're in that hole, you know, you can get yourself out of it.
But yours doesn't feel like that. And I think this is really important, like point, like I know you know, but I have to tell you, it never comes, what you do, which I love, is like you show where you've struggled, where you've gone wrong, like your hardships, your grazed knees, your bad chapters. And like you make women feel less alone, Angela, you know? So you can sort of think, oh God, well, if she's gone through that and she didn't feel like that this morning, but she's still smiling on the telly, she's doing, I can do it as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I liked about it, is I never once felt patronized or preached at. I just felt like she's like me.
Her filter's broken too.
One of us.
Totally.
Oh, mate, I could talk to you all day about the book, but I will just say this to everybody. It's available on Amazon and in all good booky places.
Bookie places, exactly. And it's now in paperback. So you can like chuck it in the arse end of your bag and like, you know, give it to a human who doesn't like hard, but I don't know. It's in an airport somewhere.
Buy it. Yeah. In part two, we're going to go right back at the beginning. I'm going to talk to you about Irish dancing. Fabulous.
By the way, the book is called Joyrider. Did I say that? I'm really shit at this game.
It's called Joyrider. It's available in book places. Buy it, please.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.